but there's such a power when it comes to gathering. Now, if you think of gathering, you think of life is full of gatherings. Wouldn't you agree? You know, you get sporting events, and we had a sporting event in this country on Friday night, which was a record for the most people attending a tennis match. 51, almost 52,000 people watching a tennis match at the Cape Town Stadium. I don't know how the people right at the back saw what was happening there, but they were there and they were excited. It was a huge gathering, right? And it did a lot of good. I mean, it raised $3.5 million for education in Africa, for child education in Africa. Incredible what Federer is doing with his foundation. But there's musical events all over the world. Anyone been to amazing musical events where there's thousands of people gathering to listen to rock stars and musical stars? There's parties. I'm sure some of you have been to parties in your life before, you know, celebrations. We have gatherings all over. We have weddings. Weddings are amazing gatherings. And then you get funerals, which are not so amazing gatherings. But gatherings happen throughout life, right? There's power in gathering. Who would agree with me? Amen. And gathering together makes a statement, whether it's good or evil. Sometimes gathering is many times not so good. You know, you think of these protests and riots and, you know, South Africa, we love to, what do? When we gather, you know, when we're unhappy about something, then we love to like protest and march and toy and do all the funny things that this country sometimes does when we gather together, right? So gathering is not always positive. Sometimes it's for not so positive things, but there's a power when we gather, right? It makes a statement. When we gather together, it makes a statement to the world out there. Genesis 10 starts with a very powerful gathering in the Bible. A gathering around a common cause which wasn't quite God's cause. Anyone heard of the story of the Tower of Babel? There was a gathering there just because the people were in unity. The people spoke one language. There was a powerful getting together. And God himself had to intervene. God was sort of so worried about this gathering that he said anything is possible for these people. They're in such unity. They're in such amazing agreement, yeah, and they started to build this massive city, and God said, I'll have to come and visit them. I'll have to come and intervene so that they can actually be confused. I'm going to have to give them different languages and confuse their languages because there's such a powerful gathering happening here. But it's not for my glory. And so God had to scatter his people, which wasn't his heart. His heart has never been to scatter. But he had to do it. The word for gather, or the definition for gather, means to congregate, to convene, to assemble, or to meet. And the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines it quite nicely and says, gather is the most general term for bringing or coming together from a spread out or scattered state. I'm going to say that again. Gather is the most general term for bringing or coming together from a spread out or scattered state. And so I believe as church and in the body of Christ and in discipleship, in walking with Jesus, Jesus wants us to gather. Amen. He wants us to do a lot of things, and he's got a lot of life in him, and he wants us to follow him in many ways. But I believe one of the most powerful things he wants us to do is to gather together, to come ultimately to him. And so our GROW acronym starts with gathering to Christ, relating to people, obeying the Spirit, and witnessing to the world. Gather, relate, obey, and witness. And the next few weeks, except Pastor Heinrich won't probably preach about this next week. We want him to bring a word that's from the Lord. We don't want him to tell, you know, to preach about something specific. But Haynes and myself in the next few weeks, we'll go through these four things: gathering, relating, obeying, and witnessing. And at the camp, we're going to unpack this and brainstorm it and say, God, how do you want us as a church to grow? GROW. And so I'll start this morning with this whole thing of gathering. I believe God wants us to gather. Amen. Because God is a gatherer. Listen to this in Zechariah 10, verse 8. The prophet writes about God, and God himself speaks, and he says, I will whistle for them and gather them. I will redeem them, I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. The Greek word there actually talks about hissing, like a beekeeper does for bees. hissing, it's a whistling, it's a very powerful, urgent call to come. Not for condemnation or not to be judged or to be cast away, but actually to gather. If you think of a sheep or shepherd calling a sheep, I mean, can anyone, yeah, whistle? Okay, who can whistle? I want someone to like give a nice loud whistle. Can anyone whistle? Yeah. Okay, give it. Everyone, just whistle if you can whistle. One of those like, you know, so yo. I think we're a whistling church. But that, you know, that incredible whistle that some people can give, like some of you have given this morning, is powerful. Amen. The shepherd used to whistle for his sheep and say, come, don't get lost, don't stray too far, come closer, come to me. And God's heart is a father's heart. His heart is always together. Amen. Especially since sin entered in the world. God would have loved that we never scattered. But unfortunately, sin entered and scattering happened. The devil loves to gather for his purposes, but the devil also loves to scatter God's purposes and God's people all over the world, right? But God is a gatherer. His father's heart is to gather his people together. And he says, I'm gonna whistle for you. I'm gonna call you so powerfully and so urgently that I want you to hear this whistle. I want you to hear it. I want you to come. And why does he want us to gather to him? First of all, he says, I'm going to redeem you. In other words, I'm going to give you a new life. I'm going to make things new in your life. I want you to gather to me so that I can redeem you. But I ultimately don't only want to redeem you. I want you to be blessed and multiplied. I mean, I want you to increase. And he's talking about the Israelites that were in captivity. And he said, I'm going to gather you to myself again. And you're going to be blessed. Even in your captivity, you're going to be blessed and you're going to increase as you once increased. God gathers us for redemption, number one, but secondly, for fruitfulness. Amen. And I was praying for our church, and I believe this morning God wants to just bless us with fruitfulness in our lives. Amen. He doesn't want us to struggle, and we've heard the words. Sometimes we're down, and sometimes we go through tough times, but God wants to make us fruitful. And so I want to trust this morning. I really sense God wants to make us as a church fruitful, but to make us as individuals also fruitful in his kingdom. In other words, we must bear fruit, but we must also have an ability to lead others to Christ. Like Yanni said, you know, we can share, I mean, we can walk around and see the brokenness and either do nothing about it, or we can say, God, make us fruitful, make us effective to lead people to you, however that's going to look. I really believe he wants to bear fruit in our lives this year. And that's why he's saying, come to me, come to my heart, come together. Let's bear fruit together. Amen. And it's a challenge in the kingdom to bear fruit together, because it's sometimes easy just to, you know, be a kingdom warrior on your own. It's a bit easier. And I can bear fruit for Jesus on my own. But God is calling us to gather together to him and then to bear fruit together. He says, and they shall increase. Believe he's talking about a together increase, an increase together, not just on an individual level. Would you agree with me? That God's heart is to gather us. He's a father. But for redemption and for fruitfulness. And Jesus says the same thing. He says to Jerusalem when he's about to go to the cross and die and stand in the gap for us as human beings. He cries a last cry to the city of Jerusalem, and he says the following, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together. How often I wanted to gather you. And he likens it to a hen gathering her chicks under her wings. But he says you were not willing. And I think he's saying the same to the city of Bloemfontein. He's saying, oh Bloemfontein, how I long to gather you together. To me. And he's saying the same thing to us as a church. Oh shofar, come and gather together to me. Jesus came to gather God's people, and yeah, he's specifically talking about the Jews, the city of Jerusalem. But what is God's ultimate heart? His heart isn't just to gather the Jews, he wants to gather the Gentiles, he wants to gather all nations, he wants to gather all people. But he says, yeah, you were not willing. And Jesus requires of us to be willing. Amen. He requires of us to be willing to come together to him. and allow Him to gather us as His people under His wings where there's safety. Psalm 91. Just go read Psalm 91. There's a blessing being under the shadow of the Almighty. In the presence of the King of Kings. There's protection, there's wisdom, there's blessing, there's life. Even though times are tough, God's still in our mourning and in our tough times. He wants to release us, bless us. And we, as a church, in Matthew 24, verse 31, Jesus also says to the disciples, He says, the last days are going to be interesting. And He says He will send out His angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet, talking about the very last days before He's coming back. He says He will send out His angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather His chosen ones from all over the world, even from the furthest ends of the earth and heaven. And there's a reason why we're called Shofar. God birthed this church. I wasn't part of the birthing process. I wasn't there at the beginning. But there's a reason why this church is called Shofar. We're supposed to be that trumpet that blows and that says, you know, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus is coming to fetch His people. Jesus is coming to gather the harvest. And that's why gathering is so powerful, because any farmer will know that there's a time for sowing and there's a time for reaping and a time for gathering. There's a time where the harvest needs to be gathered. And that's why gathering is so powerful, and I believe God's given us this word gathering because it speaks of His end time harvest, His end time plan to gather all people. Isn't that so? And that's why I love what we wanting to do on a Sunday is, as we say, our Sunday services, what we're doing here every Sunday is a testimony to God's gathering. He's just gathering His people together. And I want you to be excited. And I know sometimes you come to church and you wonder, like, is it worth it? And all of us have gone through that. Even me as the leader of this church, as a pastor, I'm like sometimes thinking to myself, like, is this worth it? Is it really what God wants? And God just says, I need to gather my people. Even if there's five people, I want people to gather. Amen. Don't neglect the gathering. Because guess why, guys? Heaven is going to be a bit uncomfortable for the introverts. Okay? You think, you know, this is too big already. Like 50 people, 100 people, that's too much for me. I can tell you, heaven is going to have millions and millions of people worshiping God on the throne, bowing down. So we better sometimes get delivered of our need just for a small group of people or just a few people, and it's nice and comfortable and so on. That's why, and you know, the mega churches have got their challenges, small churches have got their challenges. God builds His church how He wants to. But I just know one day there's just going to be one church and one massive group of people in heaven where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And we're going to be from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Isn't that exciting? Heaven is going to be amazing, but it's going to shake some of our boxes. Because some of us just want to be a small group of comfortable people, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that God's heart is not to stay small. God's heart is to grow. God's heart is to gather as many as will come, as many as will say, I'm willing to be gathered under the arm and the wings of the hen. Jesus is so in love with this world. He so loves this world. He wants every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. I don't know if you've seen the Olympic Games. If you've watched the Olympic Games, do yourself a favor. Watch the opening ceremony this year. Okay. Don't know, where's the Olympics this year? It's in Japan, right? So it's going to be a little bit out of our time zone. So you might have to wake up in the middle of the night or wake up very early. But I remember watching my first Olympic opening ceremony. And it was like, people just stream in, and there's countries you've never heard of. There's like some countries with like five people or one person, you know, carrying the little flag there. But I mean, that's God's heart. Every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And you think, this is amazing. Just the focus is not quite on the Lamb who sits on the throne there. The focus is very much physical, and it's about sporting talent and gift and ability. But it's still an amazing gathering, seeing people from every nation around this earth gathering in one place. Heaven's going to be like that. Heaven is going to be incredible, and we must sometimes just stretch our perspective a little bit further than just the here and now, just what we used to, because it's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing. In Mark chapter 2, there's this amazing story of a paralytic guy who's brought by four men to Jesus. But listen to the story. It starts like this, and Jesus is starting his ministry, and he's coming to Capernaum. He came to a place called Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Hopefully, when people come to shofar in this church, they hear Jesus is in the house. So hopefully Jesus is here. I'm sure he is. I know he is. But hopefully people will hear that he is in the house, that Jesus is truly here. And hopefully you agree that Jesus is truly here and put your faith out that he's here. He wants to be here. As long as we don't quench him, as long as we don't make it about ourselves. But if we make it about Jesus, he's here and he pitches just like he has done right now again. Every week he comes, but it was heard that he was in this house, he was in this place, and it says immediately, say to someone next to you, immediately. I love the way Mark is like a very fast moving guy. He just seems to use the word immediately a lot in his gospel. Because what he saw was Jesus did immediate amazing miracles. Immediately, many gathered together. Obviously, I don't know how many there were exactly, but he was in a house, so I guess it wasn't like masses and masses, but it was enough to fill the house. Because Jesus was so popular, Jesus gathered people to himself, and that is the same Jesus that was there, is the same Jesus that's here today with us. He's a man who gathers people to himself. The Holy Spirit is one who causes people to gather to him. And it says immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And then it says, and he preached the word to them. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. You see, when we gather to Christ, I want to say there's a couple of things that happen when we gather to Christ. Number one, Jesus is going to speak his word. Amen. Just shake someone next to you and say, Jesus will speak his word. That's the most exciting thing about gathering to Jesus is Jesus will speak. He can use a donkey. He can use even you to speak his word. He can use me. He can use whoever is obedient and is hearing what God wants to say because God wants to speak through people. God can speak directly to you through his spirit. That's primarily how you should hear his voice. But God is not unhappy with you hearing his voice through me this morning, through Yanni this morning, through anyone, through Zane, Michelle, whoever brings a word over this mic and whoever speaks to the church, God is excited to speak his word and he knows it's through imperfect people, but he'll still speak. And that's the blessing of gathering because you can, God will speak to you on your own and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's a blessing when God speaks to us together and we gather to him and he starts to speak his word. I can guarantee you when you gather to Christ, he will speak his word. There's wisdom in the counsel of many. That's why it's such a blessing to gather together in a group like this. There's something that happens here that will never happen between you and a TV or someone preaching to you alone. That will still be God's word, but there's something incredibly powerful about a corporate gathering that you won't get anywhere else. So number one, he will speak his word. But then I want to say, I think it's important for us not only to be part of the crowd, because there were so many people hearing the preaching of Jesus in the story, but who really had an encounter with him? How many of those people had an encounter with him? We don't know, but Mark specifically focuses on four people or five people that had an encounter with him. In fact, everyone ultimately had an encounter with him, but there were four guys who had faith to bring their friend to really encounter Jesus. And I want to say this morning to us, don't only be part of the crowd, be push in as close as possible. When you come, and you come on a Sunday, and we're trusting this, that people who are invited, so you're going to invite a friend, and you might be like these four guys, sometimes you'll need four people to carry one person to Jesus, right? Because people are just so broken, amen. There were four men that carried one guy. And I want to say, sometimes it takes a team to bring one closer to Jesus. It takes a whole small group, a whole connect group to stand in faith and to pray for one person and to say, God, we're going to trust for at least one person just to come to Jesus this year. Or per month, or per week, if you've got lots of faith. Or if you've got lots of people that you know really need to be brought to Jesus. But push in as close as possible. When we gather to Christ, don't just be part of the crowd. Don't just be here on a Sunday. Push in to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because you know, you can be here, but you also can't be here. Loved what Yanni said earlier. Let's be present. Amen. Let's really be present where Jesus is. But it takes each one's commitment, takes each one's faith and each one's choice. And you can choose to get come here with distractions and all the stuff. Or you can choose and say, Jesus, I want to be present because I want to push into you. So I need an encounter with you. And I know I'm one of those four. I want to just bring other people to Jesus. See, so they had to overcome a few obstacles. It says, and when they could not come near because of the crowd. So sometimes even the crowd can prevent us from coming to Jesus, right? That's why I guess, you know, a mega church has got its challenges because, yes, there's just a crowd of people. But a church like ours, we don't really have a massive crowd that's standing in the way. There are a few people, yes, but don't let the crowd or don't let the group of people stand in your way. Push through to Jesus. And it says here, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, say broken through. Sometimes we need to break through, right? Sometimes this morning was such a testimony. We need to break through the heaviness. We need to break through the depression. We need to break through the feelings of, I'm not really list for this. I'm not really list for you, Jesus, because I'm feeling so focused on myself now. But actually, I know I need you. And push through to him. Push through. As he preaches his word, there's power. As he speaks to you, there's power. Push through literally and figuratively. They had to break through literally and figuratively. They had to break through the house, but they had to break through a few barriers. And sometimes in our lives, we need to break through. There's obstacles. There's the devil is out to just take us out and keep us from Jesus. So the second thing that happens when we gather to Christ, it sometimes takes a few breakthroughs. But I believe especially when it comes to bringing other people to Jesus, we need to break through. So when we gather to Christ, let's come and gather and bring others along. Let's say, Jesus, your heart is for many others, more than just myself. And so I want to bring others to Jesus every Sunday. I want to bring others to Jesus every time we gather. I want to bring others to Jesus even just on my own. But it's going to take a few breakthroughs. And then number three, when we gather to Jesus, he responds to this kind of faith. Because look at what he says. When he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus probably knew about the guy, maybe he didn't know about the guy, but he waited for the guy to be brought to him, and he saw the faith of all these people, and he said, son, this is amazing. I know these guys have come, and they've brought you to me, so be free. And Jesus responds by doing what only he can do. Only Jesus can do a saving grace in someone's life. We cannot save people, we can manipulate people into being saved, and that's terrible. We can say, you better be saved because hell is waiting for you, you know. Fear comes upon people and they're like, better turn or I'm going to burn, you know. But is a true salvation. Jesus does what only he can do, miracles. He can forgive people. He can save people. He can heal people. He can deliver people. Jesus can meet every need or any need that you have. He's able to do that. And that's why gathering to Christ is so powerful. And I want to ask Neil to just come and quickly share his testimony of when he gathered to Christ. Of just how he had an encounter with the Lord in a gathering, in a place of serving. It's just an amazing story. So just listen.
Good morning, family. I actually thought you forgot. I was like telling myself, no, it's fine. I'll share another time. But so I gave my heart to Jesus when I was in grade 4. So I was very young. And I didn't really at that young age really grasp what it meant to really have a relationship with God. But I prayed a lot. Youth was amazing. Present worship evenings was good. So it was a really great experience. And in 2015, so I went to high school and I backslid a lot, and I was just broken and back in the world again. And in 2015, like, my mom usually invites me to church then every Sunday morning. And this one Sunday morning, I was like, okay, let me just go then. So I went to church, and that specific day, there wasn't a guy for AV. And the praise and worship started, and people were singing, but there wasn't word showing. And our pastor usually did the AV, so he was out for that period. So my mom pushed me, like, Neil, go and go just sit there and click the thingy. And the pastor's wife, Annalise, came to the front, and she was like to me, Neil, please, would you please help us to just sit there, because the person worship has started and there's no one there to do the AV. And so I went there and I sit and I did the AV. And as that sermon really changed my life again, because the sermon was about coming back to your first love, and there was an altar call, and I went. And since 2015, my heart has really been beating for Jesus. So it was really amazing to really see that even though you're serving in church or you're doing praise and worship, or even the mom's just busy changing the diaper and you watch on the camera and you see you're busy in church and you're serving that Sunday, God can still do mighty things in your life and He can still really touch you even though you're just sitting or standing with a tablet or whatever. So yeah, thank you.
What he actually also didn't share is that he saw the words, because, you know, when you're doing the PowerPoint, the words are there. And he was convicted also by the Spirit at the table as he was serving, and that's how he could also respond to the altar call. Because he saw the words, he saw God spoke to him even through the music and through the words that he was clicking. You know, and sometimes we can even just click PowerPoints, and God can change our lives through that. But it's when we gather to Christ and when we just come and we be where He is, amen. Whether we're serving or whether we're just sitting, whatever, as Neil shared. God is going to do the miracle. We don't have to try to do the miracle. We just come and bring people and sometimes encourage people to be in a place where we're out of our comfort zones. But Jesus responds. But that you may know, and then he carries on. I didn't put that part in. The Pharisees start to argue with him and say, but who are you to forgive sins and all of that? And Jesus just proves them wrong by doing the miracle. And he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. See, when we gather to Christ, He will speak His word. When you gather to Christ, it's going to take pushing through sometimes. Amen. It's going to take a breakthrough. When we gather to Christ, He responds and He does the miracle. And when we gather to Christ, God is glorified. Can I have an amen? God is so glorified this morning, guys. That's why it's bad how people can say, I'm not going to come to church. There's other stuff to do. And you're missing out on the glory of God. God is so glorified by our coming together. God is glorified by our fellowship. God is glorified when we gather to Him. Because He's going to do miracles and He's busy doing miracles. I know He's doing miracles right now. You know why? Because as I preach, the word is confirmed by the Holy Spirit, and He's going to say something very specific to you. If you're listening and you're willing to be gathered by Him this morning, He's going to say something very specific to you. I believe that. Don't even have to ask a show of hands, because I know God has said to you something that you're like, okay, yes, I didn't think about that before. God has said something to you through His word, because there's so many powerful revelations in just this short passage of Scripture. But God is glorified, and I believe people that come, and when they gather with us to Christ, they must say, sure, we've never seen a God like this. We've never seen a Jesus like this before. Matthew chapter 18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And I know the scripture is specifically about dealing with conflict in church. When one brother sins, then speak to him one-on-one. If he still doesn't want to speak to you, gather a few more. And if he still doesn't want to agree and repent, then bring it before the whole church. And he ends off and he's saying, if you agree or you bind things on earth, it will be bound in heaven. If you lose stuff on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. And he says, if you agree concerning my kingdom, if two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst to give them wisdom, to give them insight, to give them an outcome. But I believe the scripture is applicable to where we gathered in the name of Jesus, where we all gathered in the name of Jesus. Guess what? He's there in the midst of us. There's the promise of His presence. And His presence is definitely with you as an individual, but His presence is so powerful when we gather as a group of people. This week and the last couple of weeks, we've had a small group with some of the student guys. Some of you are here this morning. And I've been really encouraged by the hunger for the presence of God in our Connect group the last 3 weeks. God has pitched every single time. God has touched lives. Who can agree with me? Anyone here? Just raise your hand and say amen. And I'm sure it's happening in all the connect groups all over, but that's just where I've experienced God's manifest presence. Not because I'm there. I'm just saying, God, I come there and I'm tired. I've trained hard. I'm like, we don't even have coffee in the group. We had water last week. That was like a breakthrough, you know. Because we're in a venue where it's not someone's house, and so it's difficult to organize, and we'll organize it in the weeks to come and so on. But we weren't there for the coffee. We weren't there for anything else but Jesus. I just sensed the hunger from the guys to just say, Jesus, speak to me. I'm broken. Here I am. And guys were honest. This last week, guys were opening up about stuff and saying, I need prayer. I need God. And I believe it's because of the manifest presence of God. When God's presence is there, He comes and He says, I'm going to deal with this little thing in your life. And the promise of His presence is all we need. Amen. The promise of His presence is truly what we're after. And that's why gathering is so powerful because, you know, and I could see these guys coming in there, me, myself included. We come in there and we leave there changed. We leave there different. Hey, Sikuseli, would you agree? He's like excited because there it's at his place. Unitas Herberg. Unitas Herberg for Jesus. You know? We meet in their common room. It's like a nice, actually a big venue. But God pitches because we're there hungry for Him. And we're there and we say, God, we're people. We're tired. It's the beginning of the year. We're supposed to be rested out. But Lord, the studies have taken their toll. The financial stress, the application. Still need to register. But we give it to Jesus. And Jesus has done amazing stuff. Because why? He promised His presence when we gather, even just two. And that's why this year, let's gather to Jesus. I mean, whether it's two people or three people or 10 people or 100 people, let's gather to Jesus every week. Let's come to Him. Because He promises us His presence. Tell someone next to you, there's a promise of His presence when we gather. So what prevents us from gathering? I just wrote down a few things here for you to think about. What prevents you from gathering to Christ? Past experiences. Because yes, when you know, where two or three people are gathered, there's politics. Eh? The Jesus is there, but hey, you know, where people are involved, you know, I heard someone saying, you know, the ministry would be amazing if there were just no people, you know, like, but then there wouldn't be ministry, right? But where people are involved and where people gather, Jesus is there, but hey, there's issues there because everyone brings the issues. So maybe in the past through church and through stuff has happened, so you're not less to gather because you've gathered an ish, you've been challenged, you know, people have challenged you, and that is good. It's what you need. So leave your past experiences in the past and come and have a new experience with Jesus. Don't let it prevent you from gathering. Then there's a fear of being exposed, you know. Some of us want to be not to be exposed in church. Some of us want to be the center of attention, you know. So we come to a group with these extreme ideas. Either we don't want to be like seen or anything, or other people want to be seen, you know. So if we're not seen, we're offended, or if we're seen or overexposed, then we're offended. So you get different types of people, right? But there's a fear sometimes of being exposed because you come to a group and in a church like ours, unfortunately, cannot hide away. We're going to see you if you're new. Sorry for the new visitors this morning. And so, but don't prevent that, or don't let that prevent you from gathering, from still coming. Maybe in a big church you feel like you're just a number, you know. So there you want a smaller church because at least you might be seen, you know. Every church has got its challenges. But don't let that prevent you from at least gathering. So maybe you've got a fear of being exposed. Maybe you're sitting with an individualistic mindset. We dealt with that last week. We prayed for people who struggle with the team thing. But gathering is going to take you away from yourself. It's going to take you to focus a little bit on other people. And you know how good that is for us? To see, hey, my challenges are actually not so big. I don't know if you've been in a situation in your life where you've focused on yourself, you see your challenges, and then you just suddenly see someone else and you're like, I've got nothing to worry about. Anyone been in that experience? You're like delivered there. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me just by seeing a need. You know, missions is amazing. You go to Uganda, you go into Africa, you go to a township in Bloemfontein, you just go to a place where people are struggling. You're like, first world problems I've got, you know. Get over yourself. I love it when people complain and you're like, you just make a joke, first world problem. These people are like, and all of us, we complain because we're so comfortable. And then till we see someone in India, in the slums, we're like, okay, Lord, I'm so thankful. We've got an individualistic mindset, but let it not prevent us from gathering to Christ, because it's so good for you. It's so good for that individualistic mindset to see that your problems are often exactly the same as everyone else's. In fact, they're actually so little. Maybe you're shy. Maybe you're very afraid of crowds or groups of people. You know, like me, I grew up on a farm and we saw one person every 2 weeks. Apart from my parents, I saw a lot of sheep and like one or two people, you know, per month. So I grew up in a very isolated, you know, the closest town was 60 k's away. So it's like, I don't see a lot of people. And yeah, God calls me into the people business. Love how God works. But the Holy Spirit did that in my life. He made me love people. He made me love groups and crowds of people because it's His heart. His heart is to gather. Maybe you're afraid of being so overwhelmed. You come into a group and it's like, hey, overstimulation. You know, there's so much noise. There's so much. It's crazy. Whatever your fear is, or you maybe even have a fear of not connecting or not fitting in. You come into this group and this crowd of people and you're like, how am I going to fit in? Yeah, these are weird people. But don't let that prevent you. Just come, start to gather, start to fit in. I remember when I first came to Shofar in Stellenbosch, it was probably about 300 people, the church then, 200, 300 people. It wasn't massive, but I used to sit right at the back of the church because I was so afraid of being slain in the spirit or something. I don't know what. These people were like weird. But I was just afraid of this group of people. It was so amazing, but yet so intimidating. And I wanted to run away. And then the Lord said, this is the church I want you to be in. It's not a comfortable church, but yeah, you're going to grow. And so I sat right at the back. I used to slip in and out of church. Didn't connect. I had a few friends in the church. But hey, they were sitting right at the front. And I was like, whoa, the river is flowing quite fast here. You know, like the spirit is moving. God's putting their hands in the air. And I'm like, don't hit me, you know, when you praise and worship. But I'm like so shy and I'm so afraid of just the freedom, you know. But I just pushed through. I kept coming back because God said, this is where I want you. And then I started to make more friends and they said, we all felt like that. I was like, why am I feeling so uncomfortable? This one guy says, I get precise to your gevoel. I also felt like this. Until the Holy Spirit got hold of me. And that's when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Got out of my mind and my evaluation, and is this God or not? It's definitely God. But we have a fear of not connecting or not fitting in, and it prevents us from gathering. I want to end off with this scripture this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. The writer says, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works. Not neglecting to meet together. Say, not neglecting to meet together. Not neglecting to meet together. Let's say it again. Not neglecting to meet together. As is the habit of some. It seems like this guy knew in the year 2020, some are going to be in the habit of neglecting to come to church. Eh? Or throughout the ages. Some are in the habit of neglecting to meet together, but rather don't do this. Rather encourage one another. Why? Because the day is drawing near. The day is drawing near, friends. We are living in the last of the last days. So he says the following. He says, consider first of all how to stir up love. And I want to challenge us this morning. If you're not new to our church, you've been coming, you're a member, you're a leader, then come to church to at least stir up people for love and good works. Amen. I must say, I love coming in here on a Sunday morning and I just see there's such a joy to serve. So many people loving serving that, and it stirs me up, and hopefully I can also stir some others up and say, yes, this is amazing. This is what God wants, to stir up each other, to love each other, but to do good works for Him. So come to church. There's a power in gathering when we stir up one another to love and good works. And then secondly, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. That there's a power of encouragement, the power of exhortation that is sometimes lacking in the church. We cannot get enough of encouragement. Anyone had enough of encouragement in your life? You're like so over encouragement. You're like, don't need any more exhortation or encouragement in your life. You're like, No one is like that. We're all drained more than we're encouraged sometimes, because life drains us. And especially if you're working with people, it sometimes drains you. We all need encouragement. But ultimately, we need to get our encouragement from the Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit encourage us? Through each other. Hebrews says, don't neglect it. Why? Because we're living in the last of the last days. We are living in urgent times. Can the band come forward this morning as we pray?